Hello and welcome to Everyday Oral Surgery. This is your host, Dr. Grant Stuckey. I am an oral and maxillofacial surgeon practicing in Denver, Colorado. The goal of this podcast is to connect, learn, and inspire. In this podcast, you'll be hearing from OMS surgeons all over the globe discussing ways to improve the practice of oral and maxillofacial surgery. Most information shared in this podcast will be based on personal experience and opinions, so please supplement what you learn here with approved research studies. If you are a regular follower of the podcast, please go to our website, everydayoralsurgery.com, and register to receive newsletters and find links to our social media accounts. Most importantly, if you would like to be interviewed on the podcast or know someone who you'd like to hear from, or if there's a topic you'd like to hear about, please email me at grantstuckey@gmail.com. Without further ado, please enjoy today's episode. All right, welcome to another episode. Today I'm with Dr. Dexter Maddox. He's an oromaxillofacial surgeon practicing in the Savannah area.
Good old Georgia. In
the great state of Georgia, yes. Excellent. Dexter, I really appreciate you joining us again. You know, I know we had you on the podcast before and I had tons of great feedback. And then you and I were talking and thought it would be good to maybe do a little series of podcasts where we kind of talk about some of the applications and things that are going on with AI that are available and helpful to us as oral and maxillofacial surgeons. Can you just talk a little bit about some of the newer AI alignment type stuff that's going on?
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of, I feel like AI gets this air of like, you know, it's scary and I can't be a part of it. I'm not some like, you know, super tech person. And, you know, I don't want us as a community kind of to cower from AI and kind of get left behind. And I want us as a community to be able to embrace some of these tools because it's going to change the way we live our lives and it's going to change the way we practice, like period, without a doubt. So, you know, that's why we were talking. I think, you know, basically it turned into, you know, we talked a lot about text plays last time. So I think the more that we can understand these tools out there, the more that we can understand AI, just the stronger that we're going to be as a profession, because I mean, that's just the way the world's moving. But like you were alluding to, just kind of going through some of the core concepts of AI, one of which is alignment. So alignment is basically the process of ensuring that artificial intelligence systems act in the way that are beneficial to humans and in accordance with human values. So it's to keep like harmful behavior that you hear kind of talked about in the news, like kind of this, all this fear mongering sort of behavior. So alignment is basically the study of, and it's an area of research of how to kind of give these computer systems the moral values that are aligned with, you know, human values. And it's a really interesting area because there's a lot of sort of ethical dilemmas that you can get into with this because, you know, achieving the goal for one individual, you know, might not be for the greatest good of society as a whole. So how do you find that balance? And it's actually a huge area of research and interest for, you know, artificial intelligence companies. Case in point, look at OpenAI, and they currently have a massive investment in giving 30% of their compute power to the super alignment project, which it's kind of a crazy kind of existential reality, but they're having AI models basically research and figure out what AI alignment really looks like and how we can really achieve that. So it's kind of crazy that the AI itself is doing the research to, you know, create this AI alignment, but it's a really interesting area of kind of ethical dilemmas. It's almost like the philosophy of computers. So it's an interesting area to kind of do some more research in, but you'll probably hear that term thrown around a lot. So it's a good one to know, alignment.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful for me to hear as well, because there's just a lot of confusion. I'm not always up to date on what's going on, but I think it's advancing quickly and I've started using it thanks to some of your suggestions and I've had some great successes. It's helped me with setting up podcasts and with, you know, the questions and outlines I send my interviewees. It helps me brainstorm things. I mean, it saves me a lot of time and it's just so fast and it's like, wow, yeah, that would have taken me a week to think of that. And AI got it there in about 1 second. So pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. And that's exactly really what I use it for too. I mean, it's just a huge time saver. Like it's stuff that you can just pump. And then some, I mean, like you're probably seeing, it's not always perfect. Sometimes it comes up with stuff that's goofy. It doesn't really like make a lot of sense. But sometimes a bad idea leads to your kind of own good idea. And then you can expand on that and really turn it into your own thing. And yeah, from the time saving aspect, it's pretty wild. And I can share a few of some of the latest and greatest from the AI community. There's been some interesting news updates because, like you're saying, it's moving just like super fast.
Yeah. What is some of the newer info going on here?
So a couple things. ChatGPT-4, which is like OpenAI has ChatGPT-4. ChatGPT-4 is the current leader. Google's coming at them hard with Gemini, but right now it's ChatGPT's, you know, game to lose. Okay. And Gemini really should be coming out pretty soon, but that's a whole kind of other subject. But GPT-4 just released GPT-4 Vision. And so what that means is GPT-4 is a large language model. So it can take any form of text, any, you know, huge database, any massive sample of what is ultimately kind of like text data or code or whatever. It all kind of boils down to text, but it can't really see. It at least was, and now it's not blind. So now, very interestingly, they're coming out with GPT-4 Vision. And so how that's relevant is it can actually see the output of its design. So an interesting example would be if you want to create a web page, if you wanted to create the Everyday Oral Surgery web page, you could say, hey, I want it to look like the, you know, front page of Apple. I want it to look something like this or the front page of that. And not only will it be able to produce the code that would be able to produce something that looked like that in line with kind of what it thinks you're asking, but it can look at that output and say, oh, you know, that didn't come out quite right. Let's tweak it. Kind of like in the coding, in a more of like a coder would do. They'd see it, check it. Oh, that's not quite right. Let's try it again. So that's a pretty neat one. GPT-4 Vision. The other one that's pretty crazy is Meta. So, you know, your Instagram and your Facebook is releasing a lot of AI tools that, and the interesting there is it's going to go really mainstream with them. So their image editing tools, the things you can do with AI image editing is pretty wild, as well as image generation, just like completely not even starting with an image, just a total new image if you wanted to create something. And then a really interesting one, they're releasing celebrity chatbots. So these are to include Snoop Dogg, Tom Brady, and Kendall Jenner, just to name a few. Nice. So if you've ever wanted to talk to Snoop Dogg one-on-one, now's your chance, Grant.
Trust me.
So basically it's like they're training these models on like on their, you know, media interactions. And so you'll be able to like have like an interaction with them. And it sounds goofy, but you have to think about in the bigger picture. So Meta owns Oculus, Oculus being the big VR company. Like Meta's big play is VR. So now imagine taking what is a chatbot now and putting it in a VR setting where you feel like you're having a real interaction like with these people. You know, wouldn't necessarily care about that. But I mean, honestly, maybe it'd be pretty interesting to talk to Tom Brady about some game winning touchdown drive. You know what I mean? This is one of his Super Bowls. And then the last little update would be Johnny Ive. And if you're a big Apple fan, like a lot of us are, he was one of the really big designers with Apple and one of the people that shaped Apple, kind of who it is now, has actually joined up with OpenAI to create a device. Not a lot is known other than it's going to be an interactive device that is less dependent on screens. So it could be kind of crazy.
That's cool. Wow. Well, that's exciting. Tons of, you know, things going on. I'm sure people are hustling to try to promote their brand and get their own AI type stuff going. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It moves just so fast, so fast. It's crazy.
That's excellent. So we wanted to focus this episode a little bit on Loom. Can you explain kind of what Loom is and how it differs from other screen recording apps?
Yeah. So Loom really boils down to like what they'll call it is asynchronous video messaging. And so kind of what does that mean exactly? Think of it like having a Google meeting or a Zoom meeting, but you don't have to do it at the same time. You can do it at everyone's own time frame. So whether you're on different time zones, you're just busy, you can basically use this messaging tool. And not only that, you can record something, pause it really quickly. Like I do it all the time at the office. I can just pause the recording. Somebody can ask me something. You know how it is in the office. And then I can continue my recording. And just like that, when somebody's watching it, they get to watch it on their own time. And one of the things I really love is you can watch it on like 1.5 speed, 1.20 speed. So sometimes there might be some listeners out there that are listening to this podcast and like, 1.2 speed. So you see kind of the value of that. So not only are you be able to do it when is convenient for you, but you can listen to it at your convenience. And then the other thing is just, it's just super user friendly. It's just really easy to use. So I'm a huge fan of Loom. I mean, I was glad you mentioned Loom as doing this because I just get a ton of value out of Loom. So I'm all for Loom.
Yeah. Help us to kind of figure out maybe specific to oral surgeons, how would we be using this effectively in our practices?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is just like internal communication, because it's a really quick and easy way to share kind of internal communication where you have that kind of single source of truth. Cause it's, you know how, especially with, we have multiple locations or just some people are out. So you can never get everybody in the same room. So this is kind of your opportunity to have everybody in the same, you know, virtual room where that information is shared clearly. And there's kind of no excuse not to have that information come across them other than like, they're just ignoring it. So for internal communication, it's really easy. And in doing so, the cool thing is you start to build the standard operating procedures of your office. You know, everybody talks about having like SOPs at their office, like, you know, this is the way you do things every time and you should have it fully documented. Like, how many people really do that stuff? You know, it's so time consuming to build that. But you'll find, and what we found is you start to build that just kind of naturally by going through and saying, okay, this is the announcement. This is how we're doing this thing. Okay. Any questions? And then the comment section, just like in maybe on like a YouTube video, they'll say, you know, ask a question, you can respond. So it builds this own, you know, FAQ section, and all of this happens like organically and naturally. You can keep stocks of all these videos and you build your standard operating procedures. And then you build your onboarding procedures with this. It's like, once you onboard someone one time, you can now just like, hey, watch these videos. If you have any questions, comment on there, but you can onboard them in the exact same and systematic way, which I know is another area that, you know, practice really go for. It's just hard to do that functionally. Cause I mean, we just have such limited resources. Referral communication, we can talk about a little bit later, but it's, Loom is not HIPAA compliant. And then also, I'm a big believer in outsourcing, and Loom is a huge, huge, hugely effective tool for that. And then just kind of like what you're saying with this is, you know, in a lot of ways is an AI tool, and it's just a massive time saver.
Okay. So for example, you know, let's say I had a case in the office and something went wrong, and then I wanted to kind of have a meeting to talk about, hey, here's, you know, some issue we had and here's kind of what we need to do going forward. But some of my assistants weren't there that day, or, you know, other staff at a different office, I'd like them to know. So how do I go about using Loom to do that? I sit down and kind of record something and then email it to them, and then they could record back responses, or what does that look like?
So you're exactly right. So it really exactly what you said. You can, just like you would for any sort of Zoom meeting, any Google Meet, anything, it's just going to be a video, and it's going to do screen capture in addition to that. So it's going to capture what you're seeing on the screen. It's going to capture your face. It's going to capture a voice. And then there's also like little cool tools where you can like draw on it, kind of like you might see on SportsCenter, where they're kind of drawing out plays. So you can do like a little marker if you want to kind of circle things or highlight things. And then, so you are able to record that video on your own time at your own convenience. And then you can just, you share it to them either with a link, or what I like to do is on Loom, you can build out workspaces. And so the workspaces is basically, it's a library of all of your Loom videos. And so you can have different folders per, maybe back office, general information, front office, billing. You know, you can create different folders for kind of where your standard operating procedures live. And then everyone in your team has access to that workspace, and then they can go in and either, you know, look at that new video that's been shared with them. So it's just like a link that you send them. I mean, it's so much like YouTube video. It's literally like you're creating your like own little YouTube video, but it's your own private one, and it's really easy to make, is the bottom line.
Okay. And what is the advantage of Loom over just creating like a YouTube short little video or some other platform?
So mostly time, because, you know, I make YouTube videos as well. And like there, you're having to take like your screen recording, like my editor will actually put it in the frame of the video. There's just, it kind of just does all of the things like you would on a, because it, what it creates is very similar to like an informative YouTube video, but it just like, it makes it incredibly easy to create that and gives the watcher a lot of tools for doing more kind of like meeting stuff. So it's just like a really, really fast way to create that where it's like literally you click one button, it's going to, you know, start capturing your screen, capturing your face. You click stop recording, it's going to basically upload immediately rather than having to upload it to YouTube, having to wait, having to publish it, having to then share the link. Like, it does everything just like super fast, super automatically. So you're not having to do all these little stuff. And YouTube's great because you can make stuff super polished, but you don't really need that for this setting. You're just trying to get like the kind of the simple stuff across.
And when you say you can capture your screen, is that for if you're showing some type of slides or PowerPoint or some images on your screen, you could toggle back and forth between your face and your screen, or how does that work?
So it would actually have like in the bottom corner of your screen, it's going to have like a little circle with your face, like whatever's on your camera. And so most of the time, you know, for example, I'm showing, so we just got Sensei, which is Carestream's new application. So like if you're trying to show someone how to do something in Sensei or like onboarding a new, you want them to see the application. So for teaching people how to do stuff on the computer is where it's like super effective, which let's be honest, most of the time what we're doing is teaching people to do stuff on the computer. Usually the in-person stuff ends up being pretty easy. Now you can use your phone, Loom on your phone, and create videos that way. Like there's really any sort of input you can put in there. And like you could make a video of maybe a tray setup that you're doing, you know, like this is how we set up for thirds here. You know, Dr. Stuckey likes this, this, and this, but if it's Dr. So-and-so, he doesn't like to have this and he wants this instrument instead. So there actually is a phone app version of it too. So really you can take any input. And if you don't want your face on there, if you do want your face on there, if you just want to capture your screen or if you want to use the video of your phone, it's kind of whatever you want on there. And it's just really easy.
Nice. Okay. So it sounds like it's pretty helpful for teaching stuff that's happening on the computer. You know, like if I want my prescriptions teed up for me on Epic or something, I could pull that up and say, hey, here's what you click on. Here's whatever. That's helpful, right? To teach some technology type stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. Like you could make a quick video. It's like, hey, for thirds, like, and just kind of explain, like for singles, like, you know, I'm going to do ibuprofen and Paradex. For thirds, I want to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then you create the standard operating, like then you create that sort of standard procedure that everyone can know. And if it's someone who's brand new, they can watch that video, do it on their own time. And kind of like if you've done educational video, like I've watched a ton of YouTube videos to learn how to do literally everything. So you can kind of pause the video, do whatever action you're supposed to do, unpause the video. Okay. And then I'll do that. So especially for newer employees, you can get that same level, you know, as someone who's been there a little while. And then maybe in the example that you're talking about, they're like, hey, well, what about, let's say you did an arthrocentesis. Like it's kind of a, like, hey, what are we supposed to do if it's an arthrocentesis? Or what are we supposed to do if it's X, Y, and Z? In the comments, you can then respond to that. And then now next time, instead of answering like, and I'm sure you feel the same way, like we answer the same questions over and over and over and 10,000 times. And this is kind of my way where we can get away from that a little bit.
Hey, real quick, attention to all residents and fellows who graduated within the last 6 months. KLS Martin is offering one-time sale pricing for newly graduated oral and maxillofacial surgeons. The sale includes discounts on a B&R Chiro Pro with 5 handpieces, the Spectra G6 headlight, which is awesome, oral surgery instrumentation, and in-office bone graft kit components. This is an incredible deal, so don't forget to ask your KLS reps about this. So please enjoy. I like that. Yeah, super cool that you could create a library and can be used and seen by other newer employees who come to the practice and stuff like that. Very cool. And you're saying they have the, like, let's say someone's watching the video and they are like, oh, he didn't mention this part. I wonder what's going on with that. They can comment and then that sends you a message and then you pull it up and can see the comment and then... just like it also has that messaging ability.
Yeah. So there's a comment section like on YouTube. You can even like emoji respond to parts of the video. Like you could give it a heart or give it like a question face. You could type in a response and say like, hey, what did you mean here? And it'll save at 1 minute and 23 seconds of the video. You can then respond. And as someone watches through, that will pop up on their screen and they can read it. And then it'll also keep like a documentation of that below. you can also respond to a loom with a loom. So you could even create like your own, you know, if something that needed a more detailed response, you could create a whole loom explanation of maybe it's you just talking, or maybe you have the application backups like, oh, actually you're going to do X, Y, and Z. So you can still build on that. So say if something does change, you can still build on that. You don't have to completely start from scratch. So it's just really convenient that way.
Nice. And how well does Loom integrate with other type productivity apps and things that are commonly used in dental practices?
So I wouldn't say that the integrations of Loom is their strong suit. Now, I don't have, like, I wouldn't say, like, I wish it had X, Y, and Z integrations. Like, maybe to Microsoft Teams, I think would probably be the only one I could think of that I would want an integration with. But I don't see, Loom is very good as a functional standalone application. It does integrate with Notion. So that's probably the one I use, and Slack. So I use Slack more for software development. That's kind of a whole other conversation. Slack is not natively HIPAA compliant. It can be HIPAA compliant, but Teams is conveniently natively HIPAA compliant. But one of the interesting integrations you could do is actually build out a knowledge base in Notion. So like Notion is basically like, think of it like Apple Notes on like steroids. It's awesome. So maybe we could do another one on Notion, but if you wanted to build like a really strong knowledge base where Loom is integrated, you know, maybe articles are integrated and all these other things are kind of all in one place as the kind of single source of truth. If you're really trying to build a really robust standard operating procedures for your practice, or just like a really good knowledge base for your practice, Notion with a Loom integration would be very effective for that.
Nice. Okay. And what about cost? What's the monthly fee, or how does that work?
So the monthly fee for Loom is $12.50 per user per month. Now, to watch the videos, you don't need to be a user. It's just creators. So in our case, it's going to be like the doctors, you know, office managers or kind of leadership roles really need that. And it's an additional $4 a month for the optional AI tools. Y'all know, I mean, I think at this point, y'all know where I stand in terms of buying the AI tools. I'm all in. So that one's a no-brainer for me. And it does add a lot of utility. So you're looking at basically like $16-17 a month for an application that's going to give you like a crazy amount of value. It's a total no-brainer if you ask me, but I'm very partial to Loom, as you can tell.
Sounds pretty inexpensive, which is nice.
Yeah, it's really not bad. I'd pay a lot more for it, honestly.
Yeah. I look forward to using this for sure. Are there any upcoming features on Loom, you know, that you can see that would benefit oral surgeons?
Yeah. So the two bigger changes they've come out with is their AI tools. So that happened a past few weeks ago. And then they also revamped their user interface, which they had a really good user experience already. And then they just kind of even further polished it. So I'll take it. But the AI tools are pretty neat. So basically, it's going to automatically generate a title. So as you're talking about something, so going back to your example of how to put in prescriptions in Epic, you don't have to title it that. It'll say, it literally will call it like using Epic to put in prescriptions, because it's going to listen to your dialogue and generate a title. It will also generate a transcript from that whole video. So then stuff starts to become searchable. So if they remember you talking about something and they want to search it, it becomes very, very easily searchable if they're looking for, you know, where you talk about narcotics or where you talk about antibiotics and they can't remember exactly. But the other thing it'll do to help them find that is actually auto-generate chapters. So if you're going through and you say step one, step two, and you're not really even, it's not like you're clicking anything in the application, you're just going through, it will be able to kind of understand what you're saying and then create a chapter of like how to put in pain medication, how to put in antibiotics, how to put in, you know, when I'm prescribing steroids, for example. So it'll auto put in those chapters without you really having to do anything. And if it was like, say, if it was like a weekly meeting where you had like kind of tasks that you had to do, like, okay, this person do this, it'll actually list out those tasks for you. So if you forget something, those tasks are actually listed out in the meeting format. And then editing tools. So it'll actually like, it'll remove ums and uhs and fillers and silence with just like a click of a button, which you know, if you've done podcast editing, you know how valuable that is to be able to just clip that out immediately without having to do really any editing. And so those are the cool like AI features that they've just released. So, and they're always coming up with new stuff. It's a good company.
Yeah, that's incredible. Is this something that, you know, is so new that you're kind of the first one doing it? Or are there other oral surgeons who have used Loom successfully in their practices? Do you have any idea about that?
So, you know, I have not talked to any surgeons using it on a regular basis. You know, I found it through just doing regular software research some of my free time, but that's what I do. And I can tell you, I think our use case where we've probably gotten the most value out of it is kind of like I was alluding to earlier and using that for outsourcing. So, you know, we have now 5 outsourced employees in the practice, which has been a huge benefit for us, basically just dealing with the turnover, dealing with, you know, people that are, and that's where it goes back to this. Like, you're spending so much time training people and you're having to allocate so many resources training people, and they're either undertrained or you're either spending too much money training them. Like, literally there's no in between. Yeah. So we were just spending so much money doing that and having such high turnover, like everybody's experiencing. And then, you know, you don't know how long they're going to stick around. So, you know, really Loom and really outsourcing, which go hand in hand, have alleviated a lot of these problems. So, you know, with outsourcing in particular, I know I've spoken with the outsourced employees. They love the Loom videos. So, you know, English is not the first language in a lot of these scenarios. So instead of playing it at 1.5 speed, they could play it in like 0.8 speed or slow it down a little bit. They can then look at the transcripts and you really use those transcripts to help, you know, read, and it gives the video subtitles automatically. And it, you know, makes things searchable. It allows them to watch the video 3 or 4 times, which they've, you know, told me multiple times that they'll do. And then, man, when you do that, they've got it down like that. Like, they've got it down rock solid. And if they're not sure, they can go back. It's searchable. And then if you were to have turnover at that position, which, you know, with outsourced positions, we just don't see, we do not have anything like the turnover issues that we're having with, you know, our regular employees. It's just, you can just say, hey, like one of them, for example, I was transferring a task. Like, I have a manager path list, for example, because of some of the things we've been implementing, she was getting overwhelmed. I just said, hey, watch these videos that I used to train that first person when we brought on another outsourced employee to be able to share that. Instead of having to go through that whole process again and do it all over again, I shared them the 3, like the main video and then the 2 follow-up videos I did based off of her questions. And then it's just like, okay, I'll watch them and get back to you, you know, answer some questions on there. And then like, boom, you're off to the races. And it's basically you've onboarded an employee in effectively no time. So that's probably the area we've gotten the biggest value of that, just like really being able to roll out outsourcing and saving a huge amount of time in onboarding those positions.
Yeah, I could see how this would be incredibly valuable for those outsourcing type positions, and especially if they're not familiar with oral surgery or English isn't their first language, these videos could be like invaluable to them.
Yeah, so for sure.
That's fantastic. And then just final question is, you know, if there are listeners who are like, oh yeah, I want to kind of figure out how to integrate this into my practice, what are the first steps that you'd recommend they take to explore this and see how it works?
Yeah, I mean, it's free to try. They have totally free trials. Just download it, play with it. You'll see how easy it is. There's Chrome extensions. There's a desktop app. I mainly use the desktop app. And just try it out. Like, you'll find that it's really easy to share stuff with your employees. You know, maybe for a weekly meeting, just talk about stuff, or, you know, if there's a specific thing you want to roll out, or talk about if you're having issues with your prescriptions aren't coming out right. And you basically just want to do a PSA of like, look, guys, these are how we're doing prescriptions. Kind of, I'm tired of getting the same questions over and over again. I want to get ahead of the, you know, the confusion with this. You could say like, this is the PSA on doing prescriptions in my practice. If you have any questions, put it here. So, you know, think about maybe something that's like been like, man, find those areas where you get that constant question and use that Loom video to address that. And I think you'll find it's pretty effective.
That's cool. Wow. Sounds like a great resource. I'm excited to use it. If we have listeners that have kind of further questions about this stuff, are you cool with them reaching out to you, or what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, anybody who wants to nerd out about productivity technology for oral surgeons, man, please do. I got a few folks reaching out from the last video, and I'm not gonna lie, I was so stoked. I was like so jazzed. So please, like, as much as you want to talk about it, I'd love to do that. So honestly, I'd be thrilled if people want to chat about it anytime.
Okay. That's great. I'm sorry. One more personal question here with that. Maybe Loom isn't the right application, but here's a scenario for you, and you can tell me how AI can help me.
All right, let's do it.
You know, I've recorded over 200 plus podcasts, and the editors I pay, and what I pay for is just show notes, kind of like a summary. I don't pay for a transcript. However, I had my brother Jake use some program to generate transcripts for most of them. But at some point, we really want to get transcripts and then pull all the data out of the podcast, like especially where we ask similar questions to guests, and kind of we could, you know, pull some type of research out of there to say, well, what's the force that people are using most commonly for tooth number 5? Or
I would love that. I would love that.
Awesome. There's some data to be had, and I want to extract that. But is it possible to use AI, or does it have to be a painstaking, grind it out, listen to every episode again experience?
No way. The years of grinding it out and doing it manually are fortunately behind us, Grant. So, you know, just thinking of tools coming to mind, I do think Riverside, which is what we're using right now, has some of that functionality. I know Loom has transcript functionality. There's honestly a lot of features. There's a lot of like YouTube transcript generators features. Like there's honestly kind of dozens of them. And then once you have that transcript data, you then want to build like a knowledge base, and that could be just in the form of a PDF. And then there is a specific application where, gosh, I'm blanking on the name of it right now, but basically you can build a knowledge base and then build a chatbot where you could then ask it questions based off of these transcripts. Like you could ask that question, what is the most common force? Like we always ask that question at the end of the video, like give me poll results on what is the most common forcep. I'm blanking on the name right now, and I'll have to tell you later. Gosh, it's going to kill me. There absolutely are tools like that. So transcripts are easy. Use transcripts, create your knowledge base. And then once you have the knowledge base, then you can use the, it's going to kill me.
Cause I was wondering about that. Like, cause AI is pulling all this data when you ask it questions from somewhere. I was wondering, can you generate your own knowledge base and have AI kind of use that to pull, you know, answers from questions you ask it? I've never done that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I use it for content generation, helping me generate content based off my old transcripts. And like Jasper is an example of that, where you reference a knowledge base to the full breadth of the large language model. Like it'll use ChatGPT's API and like kind of uses those together to then create the outcome that you're looking for. So Microsoft Copilot is another huge one that's coming out in that space. So it's going to reference all of your full OneDrive basically, and then start to be able to, you know stuff from your demographics to like the tone of your writing to, you know, your overall question style. And then you can interact with that data in really interesting ways. So yeah, incredible. So many more of those things are coming out, and they're just getting stronger and stronger. It's Ingest. I finally thought of it. Sorry. It's Ingest. Okay. Ingest.ai. is a knowledge base tool where basically you can build out a knowledge base in Ingest and then start to be able to play with and manipulate that data to do stuff like you're talking about, like what are the response for that, or what are the, so yeah, there's a good amount of tools like that for sure.
I can only imagine that AI is going to do for our research, because that is one of the hardest parts about synthesizing data is just how to find it. And, you know, it takes us so long to hire people or do ourselves to go through stuff. And so many people just don't even do research because of that. And imagine what research could be done now that it's so easy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, just for example, I mean, like, and that's the big area of like what data science is. I mean, data science, it is the frontier of research currently. So there's Ilya Sutskever with OpenAI that's doing crazy stuff, down to just having, you know, with my development, we have a data science team where there's so much information being garnered where you're able to use that to, you know, make better user experiences, make you know, more useful data sets and to look at data in ways that we would have never found. And through neural networks where they're finding, you know, data links that we're just like, we would never, I mean, like just would never put those together because they can test millions of variables against each other and then find where this stuff comes out. So data science itself is a very, very interesting frontier of really science itself.
Oh yeah. I love that stuff. I love trying to pull data from things I'm doing and hearing about what other people are doing. And I think that could help our community a lot to progress and kind of know more what's going on. So much of what we do is based anecdotally, as you know, of just hearing your buddy talk about something. Oh, I did this and it worked the other day. And it would be nice to have actual data to back everything up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's tough. You know, if it's tough to collect and then what do you do with it? And, but I agree. I think there's going to be, these tools are going to make it way, way, way more accessible, which I think is really exciting.
Same here. Well, Dexter, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. I look forward to kind of talking to you about other types of applications and things that AI can help us with. You're the man. My last question awesome. For you is, have you read the book Ready Player One?
Of course. Oh, such a good book. Such a good book.
I love
one of
that.
My favorites.
Same here.
Yeah. I'm definitely like a sci-fi, like I read textbooks and stuff. I've gotten so used to that and journals and stuff like that. But if I'm reading something like that, it's sci-fi like 99% of the time. So Ready Player One is very high on the list there for sure.
Yes. I can only imagine. I feel like if we had that virtual world and haptic suits and all this stuff, I think that you would never get out of your suit and you would live in the virtual realm.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of like, and that goes back to, we've come full circle. That's an alignment. That's actually an alignment question, like creating like this hyper addicted society where that's a very interesting thing, because think about how addicting TikTok is, yep. for example, and how that's all user generated. Think about now you can have a hyper viral video that's AI generated and there's 10 an hour. You know, think about how incredibly addicting that could be and how harmful that could be on society. So that, you know, to circle back to the concept at the beginning of the episode, that's an alignment issue. But yeah, the thought experiments with AI are incredibly interesting to me. I mean, I love that stuff. So I'm very positive with it. I think it can be harnessed for good and make society better. But
oh, for sure. All right, my man. Good talking to you. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Everyday Oral Surgery. For more information on these podcasts, please visit everydayoralsurgery.com. I love feedback and would be very grateful if you would reach out to me via my email, grantstuckey@gmail.com, and let me know what you thought of this episode. Or you can text me at 720-441-6059. Additionally, if you have any topics you'd like to hear about, or if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, please, please email or text me. I found many of my interviewees through people who have been contacting me and have been listening, and I've gotten so many great ideas for more podcasts, and that's what helps keep the podcast rolling. So really appreciate you making that extra effort and helping me out with feedback and knowing what to do next on the podcast. Thank you so much.